Fight, Iowa. Iowa Fight Song. Good evening, folks. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, Hank Jones Poly Sports Show. I'm not Hank, but I'm the in for Hank. This is Ross Vizito, and thank you for joining us this evening. We'll talk a little bit of politics and sports, and mostly sports. Of course, it's college football season, and Hank Jones and his posse dissect the college football happenings over the last weekend and make their predictions for next weekend. So we'll have Hawkeye Mike on to join here shortly. The expert, one of the experts of the Iowa 3, Iowa 4, that will be joining us tonight. So Hank is away, so please keep Hank and Mrs. Hank in your thoughts and prayers. First thing with regards to thoughts and prayers, Florida is getting pounded right now by Hurricane Ian. The winds off the coast of Florida as Hurricane Ian was approaching was just west of, I believe, Naples. They reached 155 miles an hour. It hit Fort Myers Beach into, I believe, Sanibel Island, and I believe the winds have reduced down to 145 as it's starting to make landfall. And the projected path is that it will head northeast, which means it will go through Orlando or around Orlando and exit somewhere out Daytona Beach at 50 miles an hour. So hopefully the storm will reduce in strength. It had intensified to 155, which was nearly a Cat 5 hurricane. So it is going to do some damage. Governor DeSantis has also warned of that. They've amassed a really good team. Some states have assisted Florida in bringing teams down, including electricity companies and also some military, including helicopters for evacuations if necessary. So it's a serious storm. It's impacting the West Coast, the Gulf Coast of Florida, and it'll soon be impacting Central Florida this evening and into tomorrow morning. The winds that they're projecting to hit Central Florida around Orlando area is about 65 to 75 miles an hour with gusting winds. So it's nothing to take lightly. It's a little bit less intensity than Hurricane Charley, but the rains, it is bringing some rain. The outer bands now are hitting Brevard County, which is Cocoa Beach, and Merritt Island, Satellite Beach into Orlando, and so just keep your thoughts and prayers with the people of Florida right now, especially those down on the Gulf Coast right now that have experienced Marco Island, 155 mile an hour winds. I know Hank starts up the show and he does some updates, including other shows on Global Patriot Radio. Tomorrow night, Thursday, you've got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul is also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. You can pick that up at Paul Sutliff's website, or you can order it at Amazon.com. It's a really good book. I have a copy, and I've read it. And, of course, Paul does a lot of great work. So it's called The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Friday, you've got Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. He's on at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also follow Andrew on frontpagemag.com or Jihad Watch. He writes some great articles, and he has some great guests. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And keep your prayers for Osama. I believe his ministry is down in Venice, Florida, which is also on the Gulf Coast, and it will be impacted by Hurricane Ian. Sunday, I believe, and Tuesday, I believe, Paul Sutliff will be sitting in for Eric from Kafiristan with the the cross and the crescent. So until further notice, Paul Sutliff will be the guest host of that show. Thanks to the intolerance and the viciousness of the Muslim Brotherhood, who does not respect the United States laws, including the Bill of Rights, including freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to peaceably assemble. So the intolerance of Islam strikes again in the United States. And then Monday, Al and Vito are back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Global Patriot Radio. So Hank starts off with the notable deaths of the week, including this week, we have former Democrat governor and congressman from New Jersey died at the age of 85, former Governor James Florio. He died this past Sunday. Florio had made three unsuccessful runs for New Jersey governor and then finally succeeded in 1989, becoming the first Italian-American to serve as New Jersey governor or New Jersey governor. Unfortunately, he blew it right away. And just like a typical tax and spend Democrat, he proposed a $2.6 billion tax increase. So needless to say, he was a one-term governor, got beat for reelection by Republican Christy Whitman. And Christy did a pretty good job. Anyways, Florio had served in the New Jersey State Assembly prior to being elected governor. And also he served 15 years in the United States House. So Florio passes at the age of 85. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a clip of this next one, but actress Louise Fletcher, she passed away at the age of 88. Hard to believe she's that old, but you may remember Louise from the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where she played Nurse Ratched. And she was great in it. She was that stern, mean nurse. And I was looking for a clip of Louise Fletcher, and she was measured. She didn't like Jack Nicholson's character. She was Billy, and she would go, but Billy stuttered, and then he stopped stuttering, and then she got mad at Billy because he had a girl, and just it went. But anyways, Louise Fletcher, very good actress. She also did some character parts on Perry Mason back in the late 50s, early 60s. So, but she passed at age 88. In other politic news, this warms my heart. And of course, I am an American first, and a being of Italian descent. I'm going to gloat about this one. So gloat because the left wing in the United States and around the world are having agita. Their stomachs are turning. They are beside themselves. You even have news writers who are mislabeling the new Italian prime minister, who happens to be a female. And isn't it kind of funny, folks, when for those that do follow politics, we're told about women's rights. Women in sports is important, and yet transgender women, cross-dressing males can enter, women's events and then beat the snot out of women, but that's okay. And then we have women should be taken serious, and we need more women executives, except when that woman decides to run the conservative side. Whether it's a Republican or in other countries, it might be a conservative, they're labeled and they're dismissed. So a new Italian prime minister, Italian politician, Giorgia Meloni, the left-wing progressives, Democrats, the communists, the Marxists are all having heart palpitations and agita over the Italians electing Ms. Meloni. Now imagine you have a candidate like Miss Meloni, who's now elected, who puts God, family, and country first. And she's being rejected by the left-wing progressive movement. So suddenly women's rights don't mean a damn thing to these hypocrites on the left side. Women's rights, women take it seriously. Oh, what about women? What about women? Well, now you have a smart woman. And imagine, okay, this woman, she runs and she wins. Now, she didn't win because she cheated. She won because the people of Italy are tired of the direction that the country is moving in. They're tired of the socialist EU policies that are killing their culture. And that's what it is, you know, and people have had enough. So the majority of Italians have had enough. And guess what? The majority of Italians actually voted for her. And the morons in America, now, I don't know if this is a Babylon Bee story, but I saw this today and I had to start laughing because if it's true, liberalism is truly a mental disorder. So progressives in America are now calling for the boycott of Olive Garden. And so I guess they're going to start boycotting pizza and pasta because Meloni, a conservative, okay, now, of course, she's labeled a far right winger, okay, because all the leftists are all up in arms. So the idea is they're gonna boycott Olive Garden. Now, the Olive Garden is an American company. It's owned by Darden Restaurants. Okay, they're based in America. I believe they're based in Florida, as a matter of fact. And now they're being targeted by the intolerant left wing. And Marxists are so upset with their fellow communists after being rejected all over the Western world, and now they want to boycott pizza and pasta. So watch out, Ronzoni. Watch out, Ragu. Watch out, Prego. You're next. And they're just a bunch of stunads, you know? And this is what's breaking from the irrational left wing, the destructive Democrat Party, and I call them the DDP, the Destructive Democrat Party. And I really do hope it's a Babylon Bee spoof. But here it's breaking, you know, because pizza and pasta now are symbols of worldwide white supremacy, right? You know, because that's the new buzzword throughout the left-wing world. If you don't believe in that radical ideology, their radical ideology, you're now considered a white nationalist, a white supremacist. But there are people in the United States House of Representatives who are facing some consternation, and also in the United States Senate, because they're celebrating Ms. Maloney's victory. And of course, it's Lorena Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Ted Cruz in the Senate who are under fire for celebrating the Italian Maloney's victory. And It's truly incredible how sick the left wing is in America, how intolerant the left wing is in America. And I'll tell you what, how radical the left wing in America is. This is how.
Okay, folks, I think I'm back. I think we got sound again. Let me see. Let me bring on Hawkeye and Mike and see if Mike, you there?
I'm here, Vito.
Can you hear me?
Back on. Yeah, I can hear you. Yes. It just came back in just a few seconds ago.
Oh,
has this hurricane caused some havoc?
Yeah. Just a wee bit, Mike. Just a wee bit.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, good. It's good to talk to you. I know we've talked before once or twice, but it's been a little while, and it's unfortunate Hank's away on some private matters, but it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me sit in tonight, and I look forward to it because I like the breakup of sports, especially and a little bit talking a little bit of politics. And I know, you know, you guys are the guru of college football, and it makes it fun because it piqued my interest or sparked my interest once again to get into college football. I love, you know, I don't follow the Big Ten like you guys do, but I follow the SEC. Amazing Georgia is rolling right now, and they're back in the number one spot, which is rightly so. Took it to Kent State last week, and then Alabama took it to Vanderbilt. That was a SEC game too, and 55-3. Holy cow. And even more impressive is Ohio State. How about them? They rolled over Wisconsin 52-21. So let me ask you, being a Big Ten guy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, my Hawks have to go in there in a few weeks, and I'm not looking forward to that one.
What is Ohio State that good, or is Wisconsin that bad that they got rolled by Ohio State?
I tend to think it's more that Ohio State's just that good. Wisconsin might be a little bit, you know, suspect. You know, they got upset at home by Washington State a couple weeks ago, which kind of raised some eyebrows about how good they might be. But there, you know, Ohio State just, I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of that game, but it was just, they got manhandled. And clearly, Wisconsin's got some issues. Ohio State looks to really be tough. They beat Notre Dame, who also has some issues, I think, pretty good in the first game of the year. Definitely they're the team to beat in the Big Ten. And I'm not quite sure who's going to do it. You know, Michigan got them last year, but that game's down in Columbus this year. And Ohio State's going to be looking for some payback. So I don't know. I really think Ohio State's on a glide path right to the national championship game and probably against Georgia.
And they look solid overall. I mean, they're like a well-rounded team, and their quarterback, he has been CJ Stroud, you know, another 280 yard, you know, passing, like five TDs. I mean, that's just, it's, you know, how do you stop it? How about Henderson, their running back? I mean, he had 21 carries for 121 yards. And this kid's just lighting them up on the ground, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's what's really making them, I think, tough this year, is they've got more balance. Last couple of years, their running game had suffered, and I think their defense is playing better too. Their defense had been suspect in the last year or two, and you know, it just seems like they're improved in those areas, and they were always, you know, had a super high powered up passing game. And, you know, last year they did, and it hasn't lost a beat this year. So, yeah, Ohio State, you know, they're clearly the head and shoulders right now, I'd say, above anybody in the Big Ten, including Michigan.
Yeah, now last week Michigan, Maryland was 3-0. They rolled into Michigan, and they were beat. But Michigan squeaked by 34-27. But it appears that Maryland's, you know, is a legit Big Ten team as well this year. But Michigan did squeak out that win, so unless they get any better, Ohio State may not have an issue with them, right?
Well, I think it's going to – yeah, I think right now Michigan's clearly a notch below Ohio State. That was a good game against Maryland. Maryland played them real tough. Maryland is for real, I think. They're legit, as you put it. I'm going to butcher the guy's name, Tagovailoa. The quarterback,
is
very good, and I think Maryland's going to have a good year, and Michigan, you know, kind of, you know, that game was in Ann Arbor, kind of gave them the edge, I think, and they managed to pull it out, but they had all they wanted, and so I'm hoping this week when they come into Kinnick Stadium, where Michigan struggled in recent past, that the Hawks are going to be able to come to life and get the win. I'm much more optimistic about that game than I am the Ohio State game in a few weeks.
Well, before we go on to this week's schedule, I do have to say I was surprised. I don't know about you. Number 6 Oklahoma took on Kansas State, and Oklahoma got beat. I mean, I was surprised.
Yeah. Oh, I was, you know, too. That was a shot. I think it was that game in Norman. I think it was.
It was. It was a home game for Oklahoma. Yes, correct.
So obviously Oklahoma must have some issues. I thought they were the cream of the Big 12, but you know, Texas got beat by Texas Tech last week too. Their second loss. You know, so who's the best team in the Big 12? That's the real question, right? Maybe
Utah.
Baylor.
Oh no, it's Pac-12. Baylor. Yeah,
Utah's
right.
Not there. Utah's not into the Big 12 yet. We'll see what happens. But, Utah's probably the cream of the Pac-12. Although I have to say Washington's looking pretty good.
Yeah, Washington looked pretty good. They beat Stanford 40-22 last week. So that was a Pac-12 game as well. So both
beat Michigan State
Washington's 4-0, too.
Yep, they beat Michigan State the week before that. Yep.
That was a surprise. Holy crap. And then I agree with Oregon beat Washington. Iowa State lost to Baylor. That was a pretty big game too. So both are 3-1 now. So that, you know, the Big 12 is really open right now.
I don't think anybody is standing out there as just really being top notch. And I thought maybe Oklahoma would, but that loss to Kansas State was pretty bad. So till someone shows me something, I'd say the Big 12 is a little bit down this year.
Yeah, I was surprised by him because I like Dylan Gabriel. I followed him when he was at Central Florida, and I just think he's a talented guy. He can throw a dime when he needs to. But he had 330 yards passing, four TDs, and they got beat. So the running game is where it lacked as well, I think.
So I don't want to get compared to Kansas State here. You know, but maybe all these upsets, and we've seen a lot of them. I mean, look what with Notre Dame losing to Marshall a couple weeks ago, and struggling, you know, against in a couple other games. A lot of upsets. Maybe we're getting into a situation where we're seeing more, with the exception of maybe the real top tier Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, of some real parity in any given week. You know, if you don't show up ready to play, you know, you're going to get your ass kicked, basically, is what's happening. Sort of like being in the NFL. We'll have to see if that really pans out, but I'm wondering.
But then again, you also have, again, you have two divisions, and that would be the Big Ten and the SEC, that have multiple undefeated teams. And again, there's two powerhouses, and right now it's Ohio State and Georgia. And Alabama is sitting there on the outside, and the only reason why they dropped to number two was because of their win over Texas wasn't as dominant. But I was talking to my nephew about that game, and, you know, you got Steve Sarkisian, who was the offensive coordinator for Alabama for, 2 years? So he kind of knows and understands that scheme and understands, you know, the mentality of Saban. So I'm going to give them a pass on that, but they still won. Alabama still wins that game. But it wasn't in dominant fashion. So,
yeah, you know, the thing is with the competition in the SEC, like say with Georgia and stuff, Alabama, or any team, if they're just a little bit off, they're going to be in big trouble in a game. So that Texas game makes me wonder if Alabama's really going to be able to get through unscathed. They've got some tough game. They got a tough game next week at Arkansas, and Arkansas is a pretty good team. They lost Texas A&M. But that was their first loss. I think they're going to be ready to really give Alabama a game. And, Alabama's going to have to go through that whole SEC West, which, you know, Vito, you may know a little more about it than I do, but there's a lot of pitfalls in the SEC West. Ole Miss is looking really good. As I say, Arkansas, Auburn, have to show me a little more on them, but then Texas A&M, who got upset early, but now they look like they're strong. So I think Alabama's going to have a tough road to hoe to come through unscathed in the West or even win the West. I kind of like Ole Miss right now to really do some damage out there. And then I do think Georgia is really looking solid, and I don't know who's going to beat them.
I don't either. I think it's going to come down to Georgia, Ohio State, as you said earlier. You just feel it just because they have a lot of confidence. The returning quarterback, now they did lose a lot, you know, of linemen to the NFL draft, but they reloaded, and they reloaded quickly. So that's a good sign for them.
That's right. That's
and, of
right.
course,
and,
Saban.
I think you're right.
In the West, though, of the SEC West, Nick Saban is going to be facing some former coaches as well, including this weekend coming in. You've got Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher, but I am not a big Jimbo Fisher fan. I think he's overrated, honestly. But he's competitive. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I just find it interesting how he's built up. And the expectations are just too high. And I don't know. So what do you think about Alabama and Texas?
Well, now, I think Alabama's actually playing Arkansas, aren't they, next week? And then they get Texas A&M.
Yes, yeah.
It's coming. And Texas A&M, hung on and beat Arkansas last week. That was a good win for them. But as far as Jimbo Fisher, now, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he leave kind of under a cloud when he was at Florida State? I can't remember now. There were some issues there, beyond just that maybe he wasn't up to snuff, but I thought there were some problems he had there. And I don't know. The guy's kind of I know that he's not on Nick Saban's Christmas card list, I don't think.
No, he's there were some issues.
Had some back and forth.
The team was he kind of decimated that program, so to speak. I don't know if it was put it this way, the alumni wasn't happy with him. He also had a large buyout, and he, I believe he took like $75 million to go to Texas A&M. So they were happy to get rid of him, but it's taken, you know, Florida State 3 years, 4 years actually to rebound over it. And they're finally, you know, they're finally looking pretty good. This week they, the 4-0 Florida State takes on Wake Forest. So that's a conference matchup. What do you see on that one?
Yeah, well, you know, Wake Forest lost to, was it Clemson last week?
Yes, they did, in overtime.
Yeah, in overtime, right. So I think, and Wake Forest, they were ranked going into that game. So I think they're the real deal. They, you know, we'll see. Well, I guess this will be a good test for Florida State to see where the program is. But if you ask me to pick somebody there, where's that game at?
It's
at Florida State. All right,
that's
a real toss-up game, I think. I do think Florida State's shown some improvement, but I don't know. I think Wake Forest is the real deal. I'm going to go with Wake Forest in that game.
Go with Wake Forest.
I think
they
won it by a field goal.
So Florida State's favored by 7. I'm going to go with Florida State on that one. I'm going to stick to them.
All right, I guess that's kind of an upset pick for me.
Well, you know what? It would be – well, let's see. Wake Forest is ranked 22. Florida State's ranked 23. So, technically, it's a Florida State win. It's an upset.
Well, you know, it does give them the advantage there at home, obviously. But, you know, we'll see. That's a hell of a game, I think.
Well, another hell of a game is number 5 Clemson 4-0 is going to battle NC State 4-0. NC State's ranked 10th, and they're at Clemson. I'm still going to give the edge to Clemson on this one.
Yeah, I go with Clemson on that one because I think that that they've kind of shown that they're maybe getting back to you know, Debo's got them back. Debo got them back to maybe, you know, sort of in the realm where they were. You know, Trevor Lawrence years, we'll see, but, they had a down year last year, although not that bad, really. I think they lost 3 games, maybe 4, I can't remember exactly, but anyway, they look like they're the real deal this year. And, they got the ranking to prove it, I guess. And, you know, in the ACC, I don't think they play Notre Dame this year. Pitt's, looking pretty good. I'm not quite sure who's going to knock them off there. So, I think they're going to come out of the ACC pretty good, and I think Clemson's back. And, I go with Clemson in that game.
Are you surprised? I have to ask you this because this to me it's a little bit surprising. Are you surprised how quickly Dabo was able to reload with Clemson? I mean, he loses Trevor Lawrence, and he loses his key running back. And last year showed it, and then all of a sudden this year they come out and they're like the same powerhouse they were when Trevor Lawrence was at QB.
Well, you know, the guy has shown he's a good recruiter. You know, it's not just Lawrence. Who's the guy they had for the great quarterback in the years before Lawrence?
Oh,
I can't remember his name now. Having a cramp here. Guy's having a good career in the NFL. But anyway, I think he's a good recruiter. I'm a little surprised that they seem to be doing as well as they are. I thought they might take a couple years to kind of where they really, you know, kind of reloaded. But I don't know. You know, maybe it's a thing with the good recruiting combined with the portal and coaches that know how to use that can rebuild fast. And unfortunately, that's not a lesson that my Iowa Hawkeyes seem to have learned. And, you know, we can get into that later. But I think Hank might agree with that, too, although I don't want to – I could be wrong. But anyway, I think Dabo's a good recruiter, and he's – that and using the portal maybe have got them back quicker than maybe
people might have thought at the end of last year, but they're looking pretty good.
Was that the guy who was who just got suspended? The quarterback, was he the one that just got suspended from? Was it the Browns? For the
Bulldogs? Yeah. Who is it? Brain cramp on the name.
You got drafted by the Texans, right?
Maybe someone will come in and let me know here. But the point being is that there's a history there of having some real top-notch quarterbacks. It's just the overall team. You know, they won I think they're the one team that sort of interrupted maybe Ohio State about 6-7 years ago. The one team that interrupted ACC dominance in the national championship, and we'll just have to see. But I think Dabo's got them back. So they got we're starting to get to that time of the year now where we're seeing some games under people's belts. This is week 5, so you start to get a little bit of a feel for some of these teams. Clemson's looking tough. So we'll see.
Deshaun Watson. That's who it was. I think that's who it was. I think we have another member of the posse here. I'm going to bring him on. I think, is this
T. Bodie.
Who is T. Bodie?
T. Bodie.
Welcome.
It going, T. Bodie?
How you guys doing? I was just calling in to let you know Deshaun Watson.
I was going to say you're calling in to let us know about that. I was having a brain cramp on that, and I couldn't remember the name.
No worries. You were doing well without me, but I thought I'd weigh in.
Oh, thanks. So do you want to weigh in on the Penn State Northwestern game?
The Penn State Northwestern game? Northwestern's not doing so great. I'll weigh in on that.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us who it is. Who is your pick?
I am so out of the loop this year on football. I believe Penn State would be my pick.
All right. Mike, what do you see on Penn State? Penn State's 4-0, and Northwestern, like Tebow said, that they're 1-3, so it should be and they're in Happy Valley, so –
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, a pretty easy win for Penn State. Northwestern's struggling. People thought they might have been back a little bit when they won their opener against Nebraska, but, you have to consider about Nebraska, right? So they've had it downhill since then. Three straight losses, and they're going to get a fourth this week. Penn State's going to win easy.
All right. And now we got Ohio State at 4-0 is playing Rutgers at Ohio Stadium. Ooh, 40.5 favorite Ohio State.
Wow, that's a lot of points.
I don't know.
They wouldn't have covered that last week because they only beat Wisconsin by 31. You know, Rutgers is not a bad team. I thought it was a pretty good win for Iowa to go into Piscataway and win. They've got a very good defense. And I think they're getting there under Schiano, but they're not going to win this game, but they might do a little better than people think. And I think that with 40.5, whatever the spread is, I'll pick Rutgers to cover that. But Ohio State's still going to win by 30, I think. It'll be like 45-14, something like that. 45-17, something like that.
Well, that's interesting that you said 45-14, because you know what the over-under is? It's 59. That was an interesting there, Mike.
and I think that's because that's actually kind of a low over-under for an Ohio State game, the way they've been scoring.
Yes.
But I think that's a testament to Rutgers' defense is for real. And, we'll see how that'll be a game that Iowa will want to watch in terms of when they are scouting to play Ohio State because Rutgers, Iowa's defense is the strength of their team. And, I'm not predicting Iowa to beat Ohio State by any stretch, but if you want to stay in the game, if you want to be competitive,
how Rutgers does and what they're able to do if they are able to be effective on defense and slow Ohio State down a little bit on offense, something that teams like Iowa are going to want to watch. As I said, I think that that's why maybe the over-under is 59, and I said 45-14, which would be, creditable to Rutgers, but that, Ohio State's going to win the game. I think Rutgers might not embarrass themselves. Let's put it that way.
You know, that's a really good point about their defense. And I sat here, I was wondering why it was a 40.5 point spread, but only 59 over under. And you forget about that little intangible where Rutgers still has a very good defense. So that could be that could slow Ohio State down a little bit. So, Tebow. What do you think?
I disagree. I think Ohio State took cover. Let me take you off.
Ooh.
Hold on a second.
I think they're going to win by more than 40. Okay.
All right. It's going to go Ohio State. It's going to cover.
You might be able to hear me better. I definitely think that Ohio State's got the juice this year. And Rutgers, Iowa's a bad team. And Rutgers didn't do well against them. So. They're not going to slow down Ohio State.
So you don't put any credence at all into maybe Iowa played a little better offensively than they had the first three games?
You know, they did, but it was against Rutgers. I don't know.
Rutgers,
52-9.
One of the best defenses in the country.
But Iowa has the worst offense in the entire country, and they scored 27.
So that's the point, is that maybe Iowa's offense, creeping up a little bit. I'm not predicting that they're going to turn into a juggernaut by any stretch, but maybe they're just getting a little bit better. I certainly thought that if you saw that game, offensive line was opening holes and the run game looked the best it had all year. And of course, when they're able to do that, that helps out Petras. So we'll see if that happens. This Michigan game will be a real test for Iowa's offense.
How many points
we'll
did Iowa put up against Rutgers?
27. Yeah.
So, double, three, four more touchdowns, and you got your 50 points. Three touchdowns more.
Yes.
The Hawks did have a couple long drives.
50-9.
Racked up some yards. Yeah, you think that's 50? Okay, so the You may be right. In some ways, we don't know how good Ohio State is because Notre Dame's suspect and Wisconsin is suspect. You know, as I was saying to Vito, they lost. Wisconsin dropped to Washington State at home. So, what's the deal there? That was a real bad loss. Makes you wonder about them. Ohio State just manhandled them last week, I thought.
Right, what were you guys saying about Clemson and South Carolina? I tuned in right when you guys were going through that game, and what was the consensus?
It's Clemson and NC State, and we both
believe
that
NC State,
number five Clemson will beat NC State.
That should be a good game.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
it's
so.
On ABC.
NC State, they're undefeated, but do we know that NC State's have they played anybody? What's the spread in this game? Anybody know?
Yeah, it's 6.5 points, and the over-under is 39.5.
Wow.
Is that the game?
They
moved that game
Clemson
up?
And they're only
What's that?
Did they move that game up? I think there's a game that they moved to Thursday night.
Oh, you know what? No, I did not see that. It's still showing.
Right.
It'll be played Saturday.
There's a couple games that they said that they moved either Thursday or Friday or both because of the hurricane down that's coming through, and they thought by the time
true.
That storm blows
up,
Carolina.
You know, the prediction on that hurricane is it's going to blow through Florida, swing out into the Atlantic, and then possibly swing north and hit up into Georgia and South Carolina, like re-strengthened or something.
Like
this thing is this thing could be a real, like, it's not going away.
Yeah, I know. And it could wreak havoc. And I know that the, I think the Florida game was moved to Sunday. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen there.
That's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. And NC State, they beat Texas A&M. So that's, and then Charlotte Southern, 5-3. So, I mean, that wasn't a big, but they beat Texas A&M in week three. And in
that's
week
a good
one,
win.
I'm looking at it. That's a real big win, I think. And that put them on the map. And then they beat Eastern Carolina, which was the AAC, AAC team, American Atlantic Conference. So
ACC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're getting into pure conference play now, so we're really nowhere to hide now. Teams are gonna, you know, it's gonna be tough every week in these Power Five conferences. So, you know, we'll find out who rises and who sinks.
Well, speaking of conference games, here's one. How about Minnesota last week winning? Minnesota's 4-0 now. They play Purdue at Minnesota. Who do you guys like in that game? And Minnesota's 12.5 favor on that one.
I like Minnesota. I think they are a really good team this year.
I think
Hawkeye Mike was in the same boat as I was. We watched a little bit of that last week and agreed that Minnesota's real.
Yeah, they are.
I totally agree. I'd say right now Minnesota's the best team in the Big Ten West. And we'll find out how good they are because Purdue's a pretty good team. They lost a heartbreaker to Penn State, and I think they dropped to somebody else. But they're tough. They kicked Iowa's butt last year. But Minnesota really does look impressive, and I don't think there's any way Purdue's going to win that game up at Minnesota. And Minnesota's, you know, the thing about this year is they got the team, they seem to have all the pieces, you know, they got Ibrahim back, great running back, and they're throwing the ball really well, and the defense has picked up. So, you know, the Hawks have to go up there in November, I think, and play. It's going to be a real tough game. I think right now I put Minnesota as the favorite to win the Big Ten West.
Okay,
agreed.
Agreed. All right. So we got another conference game here at 12 o'clock p.m. ABC. TCU undefeated against Oklahoma's 3-1 in the Big 12. Oklahoma is a 6.5-point favorite over TCU. How about that game in Fort Worth?
Wow. Is Oklahoma as bad as what it, you know, have they gone downhill that far with a new coach and quarterback changes? I think they bounced
3-1. Yeah.
They came back hard against Nebraska when they were kind of, you know, up bat early.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
they come
Oklahoma.
Back
I haven't quite figured them out yet, you know. Yeah, so.
Well, I think it's going to be based on Dylan Gabriel. Gabriel is – if he can gel with his receivers, you know, he's the package. I mean, he can run,
yeah.
And he can throw when he's got time, or even if he doesn't, he makes some absolutely fantastic throws. And if the receivers, you know, can get some good stick on their fingers, they can catch some, make some good catches.
Well, Kansas State it proved to be a pretty decent team with Martinez now and stuff. So they took it to Oklahoma and didn't run away when they, you know, Oklahoma came down, scored late in that game, and Kansas State had to come back and score again, if I recall right.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know, so they obviously have a good team. So,
but I think Oklahoma's still a decent team. I don't think they're going to lose two in a row, so that's why I'd pick them to win, give TCU their first loss.
Right. All right, so we're all in agreement on that one. We have a quick an SEC matchup. We've got, and since you mentioned them before, Mike, you've got Ole Miss at 14. It's 4-0. Kentucky is 4-0 as well, ranked number 7. Of course, they beat they went into Gainesville and they beat the Gators at the Swamp. So Ole Miss is Lane Kiffin, right? So
What do you think? And you got Miss is favored by 7 points, and I'm sure that's because they'd be playing at Mark Hemingway Stadium in Oxford, Mississippi. So,
yeah, that's a great game. Go ahead, Ted.
I'm just going to say I always have to go with the Stoops, and so I'm Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Well,
all right.
You know. Yeah, they're the real deal this year. I mean, they're playing really well. Of course, they beat Iowa last year in the bowl game, in a close game. But Stoops is a great coach. But I really do think Ole Miss is tough. And if this game was at Kentucky, I think I might pick Kentucky. But that Ole Miss, so I'm going to go with Ole Miss on this.
Going to go with Ole Miss. Okay. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm not a big Lane Kiffin fan, but I got to tell you, I think – Ole Miss being ranked 14 is not right. So I'm going to go with Ole Miss because they're home. All right.
Probably the difference.
Another matchup is Friday in the Pac-12. Two undefeated teams. Washington goes into the Rose Bowl, UCLA. Washington's 15. UCLA is unranked in the at all, and Washington is favored by 2.5 points. Who do you guys like on that one? Remember, UCLA is unranked, and they're probably the only undefeated team with any name recognition who's unranked.
That could be a good game for sure. It's in the Rose Bowl.
What a
greater place for them to play.
No kidding.
I would lean towards Washington on the road. I think if that were in Washington, they'd be favored by more, obviously. And I think that just on who they played, and I don't recall what was it.
They beat Michigan State.
And
they beat Stanford.
I
agree with that, too. I give Washington the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I know UCLA is undefeated, and they'll be at home, but I'm not convinced they've beaten anybody really tough yet. But I think Washington has, so I'll give them the edge.
And UCLA's not in the Big Ten yet.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, I'm going.
They're getting primed for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I'm going with Jerry Robinson. I'm going with Jerry Robinson and the UCLA Bruins. Okay. The name out of the past, since you guys are nostalgic. I feel nostalgic. all right, guys, this is it right here. Saturday, 12 o'clock on Fox. You've got Michigan 4-0, number 4, going into Iowa 3-1. Michigan is an 11-point favorite with an over-under of 42. What do you guys see out of that?
I think Iowa covers.
chicken.
T. Bodie, while we're talking about this, now you're working that game because, you know, you got the big – it's not just it's the big game on Fox, but they also have the pregame, the noon show or whatever, the pregame coming in.
I just
– go ahead.
I was going to say, I just picked up my parking pass. It allows me all access to anywhere around the stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
About an hour before that. Yeah,
right.
So we'll be we're building a stage. We thought it was going to be indoors inside the stadium, and I think that's just a matter of a couple platforms. So that'll be we won't be able to stay on the field for the game. They had talked about maybe we could be on the field for a couple of these games that we do the stage. And what we'll be doing is in the practice field. They have a big tailgate kind of thing, and so that's where our stage will be. And we're building that on Friday afternoon, and we'll tear it down before the game's over.
Kinnick will be hopping Saturday morning.
It's me and Iowa City overnight, though. They got us a hotel room, so.
So you going to hit some of the places, some of the old haunts Friday night?
I'm gonna have my 25-year-old son, who has never really experienced Kinnick since he was 16, so I'll take him downtown. The game itself, you know what? I was listening to the guys this morning driving in. Danny Werfel and on ESPNU, and they had some wizard come on, and then somebody else came on, and they both said that, you know, Iowa's not out of that game as bad as their offense is on paper. It's in Kinnick, and they just went on about what he went on to say, and I don't know who it was, Michigan Ties, said, I don't know what the magic is, but there is definitely magic that comes out of Kinnick Stadium against high-ranked opponents. And he says, can they win?
And
yes. Will
Michigan
they win?
In particular,
probably not.
Has struggled there.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember, what was it, 2016, Michigan undefeated, 9-0. Remember they had Jabril Peppers? They had a really great team. I think they were the number three in the country. You know, every bit as touted as this Michigan team. And Iowa had come off a really bad loss the week before at Penn State, if you recall. And they came in there, and Iowa beat them. And just stood up and went right at them. They got a safety, if you remember that game. And they had a little bit better offense back then with Beathard and Akram Wadley, but still, you know, it was a huge upset. I agree with you on the they cover. My heart says Iowa. My head, if I had to pick, would probably be Michigan, but I'm never going to pick against the Hawks. So I say Iowa pulls the upset.
You got right. Me. He's loyal. I like that.
Here's the key. If the defense can get a couple turnovers, then Iowa can win. But they need to do that. But I think the defense will keep the – I can't remember what you said the over-under was, but makes me confident. It sounded kind of high to me. 42?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 20-17 Iowa.
Ooh, okay.
So they're under.
I'm going to write that
down. I don't
down.
Think I would get
a couple of turnovers gives Iowa about 10 points, and that's enough.
Yeah, even 23-17 they still cover. So, yeah. Huh. Well, Tebow, so in order for you to keep your parking pass, who are you picking?
Yeah, be careful.
Let's talk about Indy Hawk last week calling the score for the Iowa game. He called it right on the button, 27-10. We'll just, you know, divert the question altogether. And I have a hard time going against Iowa. Can they win? Yeah, I just don't see Iowa holding Michigan under 20, and I know Iowa can't score more than 20. 21-20 Iowa.
Very good.
Wow,
there you go.
You got to factor in a turnover, too, maybe a defensive touchdown, right? That's how they get
right. Oh, yeah. I factored actually in a safety and two safeties and a field goal, but.
That's one of the 7 points right there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the heat up for you guys, and since I'm not an alum, I'm going to go with Michigan. So there, then let's take the focus and put it back on me, so that you guys can just feel better that just the evil, you know, walks in. Hank's not here. He goes against Hank, and I'm very sorry, but I'm going to go with Michigan.
And I don't even need to hold it over your head.
All right. Thank you, guys. Oh, you're so kind.
like I said, it was my heart says Iowa, but my head says probably Michigan. But I just can't pick against Iowa, you know, just mentally, even if they, you know, get their butt kicked. You know, I'm not going to do that beforehand.
And some of us have a little more vested interest with the parking pass than others. So that was a very good non-answer. I like
that's
that.
Right,
and a good upset, 21-20. Beautiful, Tebow.
So does that mean, like, you know, Bob's just real quick, if you guys, Bob Stoops is no longer part of that crew because he went to that XFL or whatever. But does that mean Urban Meyer now? Is he part of that? Or is he going to be in Iowa City? Or is
one of those guys was, I think it was Urban Meyer was on the set last week.
Okay.
He was.
Yeah, I thought so.
He was on the set last week.
So he's kind of the guy
on that round table.
So I'm just wondering if he's going to be in Iowa City with that, when they're set up there. So I think maybe he will. That could be fun.
Well, they got a lot of young girls in Iowa City. I can't imagine Urban Meyer passing up.
They always have. Vito's never been to Iowa City, you know. Yeah, he doesn't know what he's missing.
I haven't.
Doesn't know what he's missing.
I don't know. You ever seen those New York girls, man? I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, guys,
we take pride in the transplants that come from Chicago to Iowa City.
That's right. That's right. You know, half the school, Vito, you know, half the school is Chicago area kids, you know.
We're not Iowa State. I can tell you that.
Half the school population is Chicago area.
I love Chicago. I'll tell you, I've been there several times. I've spent some time there and also up north of Chicago. And I'll tell you, what a great city. Oh, my God, the food's great. It was clean. I know that they're having some issues,
their
you know.
Vito, you know their pizza's messed up, but a lot of people love it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They weren't driving on the roads there either.
Yeah.
The Chinese food's
great. You must have been taking public transportation.
I was walking down the Miracle Mile. Taylor Street, you know, of course, the Italian section, and you had the Rosebud Cafe. That place was fantastic. I loved that place. We even saw some mafiosos in there eating, you know, they 280-pound guys. They had bibs on, and they were eating their clams and macaroni. It's like, these guys are, you know, what a place. So, yeah, I like Chicago. It was good.
Hank would have liked it. You know, Hank was what I was talking about, right? The example, am I not right, Devote, of all the Chicago kids. They'd end up Chicago area kids end up in Iowa.
Him and do you remember the other guys, Matt Dowell and Mike Dowell?
Oh, yeah.
And they were both from Naperville. And the one kid's sister, she was Naperville, yeah.
Doc.
Yeah,
remember Doc?
They represented from Chicago.
Chris
Doc.
Yeah,
Doc.
Doc
digress.
Nichols. Yeah, no kidding. Vito doesn't know what we're talking about. These are roommates we had when we Hank knows all these guys.
Oh, I've heard some names before. So Hank has a great job in explaining. He loves the deep dish pizza. So and the Chicago beef. So, oh my God. Oh, God bless that guy. He can eat that Chicago beef no matter where we are. If they see the Chicago beef, I'm trying it.
Talk about his favorite pizza place though in Iowa City. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, T-Buddy, that he talked about. Maybe you've heard this too, Vito. Pallia's. Which is, I think, more the New York style pizza.
Oh. Oh, really? So it's got a thinner crust.
The guy I work with today had a Pallia's sweatshirt on this morning. Like, really?
Apparently, they
have one of those in Des Moines now.
Oh, so I know where you're going tomorrow. Yeah. You know, when you get up there, you're going to go up there and have some pizza then, right, Tebow?
Not tomorrow. Friday, there's other places I'll probably eat at.
All right.
Actually,
I'll give them a plug?
Hopefully they'll give me a catering at the stadium, so that's usually the preferred way I like to eat. The price is right, and they give you a lot of variety.
Well, you be safe up there. Enjoy the game. Mike, thanks a lot for coming in and holding on with the little inclement weather right now. So I'm going to have to bug off and tend to some things right now as it's starting to get windier here and it's starting to pick up. So we'll see what happens over the next 12 hours.
Stay safe, Vito.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Definitely.
Oh, man. I enjoy this. I'll tell you, I love the sports on it. I love sports and college football. And I'll tell you, honestly, I listen to you guys. I may not listen live or I'll listen. I won't log in, but I'll have you guys on. And you guys are a wealth of knowledge. I love the banter on the games. You guys really have inspired me to watch college football even more now. So I'm glued to the TV on Saturdays. Honest to God, I'm going through games. The only thing is I don't have the Big Ten Network, so I'm on the SEC Network. I'm on the ACC Network. I'm on CBS 8. I mean, it's like, holy crap! How the hell do these guys do it? I mean, you guys are great. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. I'll make sure I got to tune into the Mamma Mia, No Sharia show.
Yeah, I got to check your out.
Yeah,
too.
It's been a while. I can't even get into Hank's call shows very often. So,
whenever you can, that's great. So, thanks, guys.
Yep.
You guys be
yep.
safe. Enjoy. Good luck, Iowa. I hope they take it to Michigan on Saturday. That'd be great. What a way to start off Saturday afternoon at 12 o'clock, huh?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Godspeed. Thanks. Yep. Later.
All right, man. Take care. Take care, guys. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, T. All right. Hey, you all, thank you all for joining us this evening. I want to say God bless Hank and Mrs. Hank, and thanks for allowing me to sit in for him tonight. I've enjoyed it, and we'll go. I'm going to say, let's go Hawkeyes, and if I can find the fight song, we'll end it with the Iowa fight song in honor of Hank and the Iowa Hawkeyes. So, you all be safe out there. Thanks for joining us. Check out Hank next Wednesday evening at 5:30 p.m. All right. Good night, everybody.
Fight, Iowa.